All right, Kenna needs a little dose of bravery. The tooth is ready to come out.
You're watching this video until it comes out, guys.
You got this, girl. I'm here with you. I am watching until it comes out.
Oh! We did it! Good job, baby.
Oh, yeah! Go,
Barry!
Hi, welcome to a very, very special edition of the 411. I'm Chris.
I'm Diana.
Michelle.
I'm Eddie.
I'm Marcus.
And we have a very special guest. Dun, dun, dun.
And I'm Matt Miller, the author of Ditch That Textbook, and I am super pumped to be on the 411 podcast tonight.
That's right, we have Matt Miller, author of Ditch That Textbook, and fellow Hoosier with us here today. And today, we're talking Ditch That Classroom. Say what? No, we're not talking about getting rid of the classroom, but we're talking about how teachers with summer coming up can grow professionally, but also relax and unwind, and so the best way to do that. So, for the summer, you know, how do you balance the relaxation that's clearly needed, and also, you know, it's a great time to grow. So how can we do that?
I don't know about everybody else, but I know that the end of the year for me has been a sort of like clockwork every year. The last day happens, I end up being the laziest person on earth for like 2 or 3 days. I sleep like I've never slept before, recharging the batteries, and then I immediately realize I have all this time that I need to fill.
See, for me, I think I've fallen into this same trap. Whenever I've been in the classroom, I'll always think, oh yeah, you know, I've got this whole summer coming up and I'm going to have all of these weeks off and, you know, I got to find something to do or otherwise I'm going to be, like Marcus said, bored or, you know, that I've got time to fill. And then what happens is I end up overbooking myself with all of that stuff that I thought I would be able to do. So, you know, in the past, during my summers after teaching, I've done like swim lessons, a summer swim team. I've sold stuff on eBay, like wandered around to auctions and bought things and then resold it on eBay. I wrote articles online, presented at teaching conferences. I mean, I think the first maybe 2 years of my teaching career, I was lazy. And lazy, of course, means that you're recharging, which is a good thing. But I only really did that like for a couple of years. And then after that, it was just off to the races. So I know that I definitely have really struggled with the whole balance.
See, for me, I think summer is a really great time to recharge my batteries and to grow as a professional. I know that during the school year, when you're constantly, you know, at work on that regular schedule and you're in classrooms and you're go, 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 sometimes it's hard to find that time for personal growth. So summer for me is when I try to really focus on improving. And I think that summer relearning conferences in Indiana are a really great way to connect with other educators in these kind of informal settings and learn. And it really energizes me and prepares me for August when school starts back up.
Summer of e-learning conferences, Michelle. You don't say.
Yeah, I just think it's important we take those 2-3 days right after school. My wife also teaches second grade, so we're entrenched as a family. And as soon as, you know, that final bell rings and we're released for the summer, we try to get away and just take a couple days to ourselves as a family, take the little somewhere, and just kind of get away from our daily grind and just have a couple days to ourselves as a family. So that's really important to us. And then it's right back into it. Michelle had a great segue with the Summer of E-Learning Conferences. Just a great way to grow professionally, speaking, presenting. It's like summer only lasted 2 or 3 days for us as we get into June, which is slam-packed with awesome conferences, which I'm sure we'll get to.
Yeah, I guess I got better put in my plug, too, for the Summer of E-Learning conferences. I know that that's been a huge thing for me to grow professionally, you know, for, what is it, like 6 or 7 or 8 years or something that they've had that, I think. If you don't know what this is all about, in Indiana, we've got all of these conferences that you can go to, little 1 and 2 day conferences all over the state. There's about 20 of them. The entry fee is hardly anything, and you get to hear really good national and internationally known keynote speakers and lots of really great presenters and everything. And there really isn't I'm fortunate enough to get to go to different states and present, and I brag about what Indiana's got going on here all the time, because the state is sinking money into good professional development that's the kind that teachers really want, and they really, really crave, and they flock to these conferences. And so if you want to know what this is all about, of course, a Google search for Summer of E-Learning will find you the list of all of the conferences in Indiana, and chances are there's probably one that's fairly close to your neck of the woods.
Okay, guys, so for me, summer is all about being outside, and I like to relax outside with a good book. And when I'm not at Summer of E-Learning conferences or ISTE, I want to be reading some professional books that can make me better. So what are you guys planning on reading this summer, and do you have any recommendations?
I'm pretty sure, let me see here, Matt, I think maybe Matt has a couple books you could recommend.
Michelle, the first one on my list is the E-Learning Book Club book choice that starts on June 4th. And the selection this time is Start Right Now, Teach and Lead for Excellence. Yeah. And we'll link below to all the resources that we're listing in our podcast today. But if you haven't tried the E-Learning Book Club, it's an awesome virtual option. It kind of helps you be accountable to read the chapters and have some really great discussion with educators all over Indiana. So that's going to be my first go-to with the summer book club choice.
This is not a professional book necessarily, but because of the group here, highly recommending it. I just started reading Ready Player One. Everybody talked about it, and of course the movie recently came out. So I'm digging into that, starting off the summer with something for entertainment purposes.
Yeah, I personally have a little bit of a problem with gathering books and not being able to get into them and having more to read than I could actually read. So let me pull a couple of these really quick. Actually, the one that I really want to show you is on the bottom of the stack. This one fascinates me, by Dan Pink, called Win, and it's called The Scientific Secrets of Perfect Timing. And he doesn't talk about what to do, he talks about when to do it. And there are all sorts of really good connections with education as far as the timing of when we're at our peak cognitive ability, of the power of breaks. He even makes a big plug for taking naps. There's a variety of really cool things in here, and I could go on and on and on. Oh, there's this one too. Shameless plug. Gotta do it.
Woo! Mr. Miller bringing the heat. Pew! Mic drop.
So I want to read. I've been really into design thinking, and our junior high has got some projects going on with makers, like makerspaces. And so anyways, I want to read The Launch Cycle by John Spencer. And I know that's been out a little bit, but I have a lot of people that I really respect that have talked highly about that book. So that's one I'm really excited about reading. And yeah.
Could be a summer project, Chris. I'd really like to read that book as well. It's been recommended to me a couple times from some people that I respect and talk to. They've said that it's a really good launch into design thinking. So, keyword launch. I always enjoy reading a book when I'm sitting on the beach. So that sounds like a good one. Thanks for the recommendation.
I will plus one any John Spencer book. He's somebody I think that really gets it, and it's an easy read. Another one, his latest book with AJ Giuliani, is Empower. And so it's about, it kind of ties in with the design thinking, how we can empower students and help them really harness their creativity in the classroom. And it is more of a graphic professional book. It's a really fun one. It doesn't take too long. It is another great one to read on the beach if you are one of the lucky few that get to be sitting on a beach. I will be still in Indiana.
Yeah, I mean, I love my professional books, and I've always got something going for that, but I'm going to be honest, if I'm on a beach, I'm not sure that that's what I'm reading. I'll probably pick up a couple Stephen King novels that I haven't read yet if I'm going to be on a beach. I hope I get to be on a beach.
Oh, last year on the beach, I was breaking through the novels. So, Courageous Adventures, that one I read last year, and then Work Rules, Laszlo Bock, which was awesome. Those are really two good professional books that I put down in a week last year. On the beach, great place to read a book.
I don't know about all of you guys, but if I'm ever at a beach, I have 3 kids. Now, they're getting a little bit older, but like for many, many years of my life, there was no reading on the beach when I had the kids because it was like, let's make sure my children don't drown and like wander off into the sea and they're not stuffing sand down their diaper or trying to eat random things and trash at the beach. So, you know, there's that. And I get very sucked into just reading professional books too, and I really need to break away from that. I don't do a very good job of that, but one sort of like side niche that I really like has to do with the kind of like the art and the science of speaking and presentation, because I do a lot of that now, you know, supporting teachers and working with teachers and doing professional development around the country. And so I've collected a couple of books that I really love. This one I've actually read a couple of times, called Steal the Show by Michael Port, and this really gets into the art and a lot of the fundamentals of presenting. So if you ever do any of that, I think this is a good one. And then this one I just started getting into, and it's hilarious because it is Alan Alda, and you gotta love Alan Alda. And I love the title of this. It says, "If I understood you, would I have this look on my face? My adventures in the art and science of relating and communicating." And it's so much fun. And he talks about, he's done a little bit of research on his own about, you know, getting into the, like it says, the art and science of communication. So those are really good ones.
So I think we could stay busy all summer reading books. What are some ways, we've talked about conferences, you know, what are some ways the average teacher can get professional learning and growth without reading a book or going to a conference? So, you know, online, what are some resources that are out there to find some free, easy ways to just grow?
My nerd is going to show really quickly. I love a good MOOC. So if you're not familiar with MOOCs, M-O-O-C, Massive Open Online Courses, and there are plenty of places you can go to find them. Coursera, Canvas Network. I like to take that chance to learn something new, even sometimes if it's not about education. Like I recently took a MOOC on game theory and economics, something I know nothing about. I thought it was interesting, and I learned so much and connected with other professionals. There are tons of education ones too, and you don't even have to finish a whole MOOC. To be completely honest, I don't know that I've ever gone through an open online course and made it to the end, but I think getting connected, jumping in, learning something new at any point in that process can be really helpful. So that's one place that I go to connect and maybe learn something a little new, and I have a little bit more freedom in the summer to make that happen.
Raise your hand if Michelle's nerd just was like overpowering just then, if you think that was the case.
Michelle, you're good. I've taken MOOC courses before, and it's a great suggestion. You know, that's coming from the guy who, the group, rather, that's all into Ready Player One. So I don't know if we can be calling you a super nerd at this point. But if you want something a little bit shorter and maybe a little less time-consuming than a course, I have to plug Twitter Chats. Check out IN eLearn Thursday nights.
Yeah, I think Diana's right. I probably have to revoke my hand on that one because I'm right in there with you. I also know that there's a lot of really good free video series and online summits out there. For instance, shameless plug here, I did just release a 3-video series about how you can amplify learning, like boost learning with technology. And it's got some real common sense, some strategies, some specific ideas you can use in the classroom. And if you want to check that out, it's at ditchthattextbook.com/series, like the 3-video series, ditchthattextbook.com/series. I do a yearly, I can say yearly now because there's been 2 of them, a yearly online, free online course called the Ditch That Textbook Digital Summit, but that's in December. And a friend of mine, Kim Strobel, who is an education consultant in Southern Indiana, is doing one this summer. I think it's in July, and she's calling it the Strobel Summit. And so she's going to have, I think, 6 or 7 different presenters. They're about, I think the presentations are, you know, like 30, 45 minutes, maybe a little bit longer than that, where they just talk about interesting topics and the speakers lend their expertise. I think Hal Bowman is one of them. I got to talk to her about ditching homework. So anyway, if you want to check that out, a Google search for Strobel Summit, that's S-T-R-O-B-E-L, Strobel Summit, that's available in July and that's free. And then I'm kind of still in the works right now with the Q organization, which has conferences all over the place, more specifically in California and on the West Coast. And I think there's going to be a Q ditch book match up to do a free digital summit this summer. So if you want to keep tabs on that, you can always go to ditchthattextbook.com and sign up for the email newsletter, and I'll be sending information out about that. So if you're into PD in your PJs, you know, in your jammies with your fluffy bunny slippers and a cup of coffee on your couch or on your back porch, just watching whenever you feel like it, then those are some options for you.
Okay, I'm going to put all of you on the spot. I know we all love Twitter, and we all believe this is a really great way to learn new things. So what is one hashtag that you think our viewers may not follow that if they started following on Twitter, they could learn something immediately? And go.
I'll say one that I'm more and more interested in is there's the hashtag ARVREDU that talks about augmented reality and virtual reality. And I think that some of the stuff that's coming through, I think we're still very much in early days with all of this, but some of the stuff that's coming through, I think, has really cool potential. And I know from following that one, I have gotten some ideas on how to use this. This is a merge cube. This is the one where if you use it and you hold it in your hand and you look at it through your screen, then you're able to turn it into a million different things, which is pretty cool. So ARVREDU is one hashtag that I think is awesome.
That's a great suggestion, and I'm definitely going to check that out, Matt. We actually just put in a HTC Vive virtual reality in our new junior high for next year. The principal wanted a digital playground, and I don't know if it's just like the greatest digital playground equipment or transformative in education. So somewhere along that continuum, it's going to fall. And I am really excited about what that can bring. A hashtag I would recommend following, and I'm actually a secondary teacher, but hashtag KinderChat. I sort of believe that early elementary gets it as far as student engagement and just learning in general. And so I get a lot of really creative ideas from the early primary educators. So hashtag KinderChat, check that one out.
I will let my Google show a little bit today. And obviously, you know, me, big fan. I even think, yeah, I've got my Google shirt on. Google, hashtag Google EI or hashtag Google ET, educational trainers, educational innovators, really will have a ton of stuff that either I've taken and modified or stuff that I didn't even know was out there as far as transformative in education. So any type of Google hashtag for education is awesome. EdTech team as well, so hashtag EdTech team. They obviously hold a lot of the Google summits, and those are just phenomenal Twitter hashtags to follow for just really cool tips and tricks and tools, that the ways they're trying to transform education, especially the Google EI one, as they're trying to innovate some solution or problem in education. So you'll find a ton of stuff in those hashtags that will really get the ball rolling, I think, as far as you are professionally looking for some of those tools.
All right, you guys know I'm the online and blended girl. If you've been hearing about blended learning and you're wondering what that is and what that might look like in your classroom, a simple search on Twitter of hashtag blended learning can show you a lot of really neat resources that might make you excited to try something a little new in your classroom in the fall.
And I will mention Go Open, the hashtag for the OER movement. Kind of speaks to my love of copyright and encouraging people to be using resources that are openly licensed and high quality and vetted and all of those things. So check out the Go Open hashtag for the Go Open movement.
So since Eddie mentioned something about all things Google, I've got to throw out GT Tribe, which is the hashtag that goes along with the Google Teacher Tribe, which is a podcast that Casey Bell from Shake Up Learning and I do. It's getting a little fuzzy, isn't it? And it comes out on Mondays once a week, but the tribe is, you know, all of the listeners, and they've always got great ideas and questions and new tips and tricks and all of that that they're always sharing. So definitely check that one out for Google stuff too.
Oh, that is a great segue to the next part, Matt. The Google Teacher Tribe is an awesome podcast. We'd love to know from the audience. Podcasts are an incredible way to grow and learn. So if below in the comments, we could have some of our audience share some of their favorite podcasts, either professional or non-professional, we would definitely be interested in that, and I know others would as well. So podcasts are fantastic. So this leads us to the next part of the 411. We always have a game portion, and so let's play some games. So the way this is going to be the work is it's just things I've learned on the internet. And Matt, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm going to put you on the spot. One of the things that the 411 in our research has learned from the internet is that you, sir, can apparently juggle. Can you confirm or deny this? And if you're going to say yes, be prepared to prove it.
Okay, I'm not sure where exactly you got this information, where this came from, if you're like on the dark web or something doing searches about me, because I didn't know that that was out there anywhere. But as far as the validity of it, can I confirm it? Ah! The answer is yes, I can sort of juggle.
Yeah, I'm not impressed. Do it with, like, bowling balls that are on fire. That'll wow us.
Yeah, I can sort of juggle. It's awesome.
I gotta do it better. Marcus isn't impressed. He's probably still not impressed. Ah! Oh, well.
Don't listen to Marcus. I'm very impressed. I couldn't juggle one, so.
Yeah, Marcus. Let's see you try it.
Juggling with one, Michelle, is just called catch with yourself.
Yep. Marcus, your turn to juggle. Go.
With flaming bowling balls.
Okay, here we go. You ready? You ready? Here we go.
Ta-da! Okay, that was a fail. So, 411, what are some of the things that you've learned on the internet? Eddie, what have you learned?
Oh, I have learned the art of origami. Look at that little guy. Look at it, it's so cute. It's got a little collar and sleeves. I found this on the internet. I've done it once. I don't know if I'll ever be able to recreate it. And obviously, I'm rich in dollar bills. Because I can make shirts with one.
Not bad, little t-shirt. Who's next? We haven't heard from Diana in a bit. Diana, what have you learned on the internet?
Okay, so when I was looking for a cool trick on the internet, I read that if you take a bottle of water and put it in the freezer for 2 hours and 45 minutes, which is not long enough to freeze it, you take it out and then you whack it against something hard and it's supposed to turn into ice instantly. So give me 1 sec and we're gonna test it out.
So much suspense, and I kind of feel like there's no way this works, right?
Not without some sort of magic involved.
Wait, Chris said not bad little t-shirt. This took me 45 minutes.
All right, here we go. You see that it's liquid. And it's still liquid. Fail.
You'll believe anything you read on the internet. Gosh.
Diana, aren't you the one that talks to us about information literacy? Did you find that from a reliable website?
www.howtomakeice.com.
Ooh, burn. Good one, Michelle. I think that means you're up next. What did you learn on the internet?
So I learned something you could ask Siri. I'm sure we've all at some point spoken to some voice assistant, whether it's Siri or Alexa or whatever one comes on your phone. But listen to this. Siri, can you beatbox?
Here's one I've been practicing. Boots and cats and boots and cats and boots and cats and boots and cats and boots. I can do this all day. Cats and boots and 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 cats.
Pretend like you're not dancing right now.
Okay, hotshot Marcus, what do you got? Show us your trick then. I was getting down. I was hoping you were going to freestyle though. A little disappointed.
I juggled, remember?
I guess no one said it had to be impressive. All right, Chris, what do you got?
What do I got? All right, I'm going to have to bring it for Marcus and me both. I'm going to carry the team. I have the world's greatest towel, like snap, you know, like locker room where you're like, psh. So you kind of fold it. I'm going to just show you here. Fold it over. Kind of like you're making like a paper airplane here. And then I'm just going to roll it, you know, just roll, roll, roll. So new polo to watch what's going to happen.
The suspense leading up to this towel snapping. Woo! Matt Miller tomorrow morning. I lost 900 followers.
So the roll is what it's all about. Perfect roll, and I'm basically Indiana Jones with the towel now. So I'm going to do it not to the balloon first, just to demonstrate the power. Like, I will never lose a locker room fight, ever. So check it out. Here we go, the balloon.
What kind of gym do you go to? What? Where are these locker room fights happening?
EdTech Fight Club. That is impressive. That was some power. I will never, ever make you mad.
That was really good, my friend. Can I tip you $1?
That was pretty good.
Thanks, Matt. This wraps up the latest edition of the 411. I would like to thank Matt Miller, our special guest, for joining us. And that was an awesome episode. Everybody, enjoy your summer. And
that's the 411.